The ancient legend says that 33-year-old Alexander the Great wept because there was no more world for him to conquer. Of course, he was terribly wrong because there were whole continents of which he had never even dreamed. Well, today, this morning, Wooddale Church fulfilled a dream. We dedicated this worship center and saw the culmination of plans that have been many, many years in the making. We saw those plans turned into reality. This past week, I recalled a conversation that took place in the early 1980s with a man who heard of some of those plans and dreams and the anticipation of this church relocating from its many years in Richfield to this site in Eden Prairie. And he said that he had looked at those plans and he had figured out the numbers, and he concluded it simply could not be done. There simply was no way. It was impossible, he told me. And I take a certain delight that in all probability he was humanly correct, that it could not be done, and that is all the more reason that we give credit to God, that he is the one who has accomplished so much. But now, in the sense of the turning of the pages of a chapter in the biography of this church, the question is this the end? Or is this the beginning? I say that it is the beginning. In fact, not so much a day to celebrate that we have climbed to some new height, but a day of commencement on which we say we can now see new horizons which before today were never possible to see. It raises the question of what's next. What is the vision? What's anticipated for the future for Wooddale Church? The answer, of course, at first may be more buildings, and probably that is correct. For we anticipate that we will complete the lower level of this worship center in 1991, and then at least on paper the plans are to add an additional building 3 years later in 1994, and believe it or not, there is a continuing need, although 1,000 parking places are available, for additional parking, and somewhere that is to be sandwiched into the construction for the future. But the vision of Wooddale Church has never been and should never be one of bricks, of buildings, of blacktop. But our vision is of God and of people and of ministry. And so with admittedly faulty sight and dirty lenses, I try to tell you a little bit of what I perceive is to be seen ahead. First on the list, which takes a note from this morning's songs, is glorifying God. That the purpose of Wooddale Church is to honor God by bringing lives into harmony with Him and one another through fellowship, discipleship, and evangelism with the Bible as the standard of truth. And so our purpose is to honor God, to glorify God, to make Him look good, to enhance His reputation. But the fact is that we can never fully know in advance what that will involve. Some of you I know are familiar with the name of Richard Strauss. He is a pastor in Escondido, California, and an author, conference speaker, and to many quite well known. It was shortly after he was diagnosed as having cancer that he stood at the pulpit of that church and said something that I count to be exceptional, if not extraordinary. He said, "When I came to be your pastor, I thought that I had come to teach you how to live. And now it seems that I have come to teach you how to die." Now, I admire a pastor whose goal is to glorify and to teach the Lord Jesus Christ, no matter what the circumstance. We know, if we listen to the news every day, that America stands on two brinks, on the brink of war in the Persian Gulf and on the brink of recession in our economy. We really don't know what the future holds, and while maybe 12 or 18 months ago, the picture seemed to be one of stability and of rosiness, Now we anticipate that for our country and perhaps for our church, maybe the hardest of all times lie ahead. Or it may be that God will grant to us the easiest of times. But either way, what we are committed to as Christians and as a church is to honor God. So collectively, whether as a church we grow or we shrink, whether we have adequate money to fulfill all of the dreams that we have or whether we go broke, whether we keep the same senior pastor or get another one, no matter what we have ahead, we can be convinced that in every instance it is an opportunity to glorify God, to show how he is strong and he is good and how he cares for us, and to renew our commitment not to ever become proud in prosperity and never to become bitter in adversity, to see every circumstance as a God-given opportunity to live out the power and the presence of Jesus Christ. Now, the way I see it, this church will glorify God because I believe that individually and corporately, we have a heart for God, that he is that important to us. And so I pray and hope and anticipate that in the future, the vision will be fulfilled that no matter what happens, here or anywhere, we will glorify God. But that's not all. For glorifying God also means that the vision must include meeting the needs of people, of God's people. That marked the ministry of Jesus Christ, and so that therefore must mark the ministry of Christ's church. Now, as I think over our congregation and those who would identify Wooddale as their church home, I quickly recognize that there are all kinds of needs that can be expressed. It seems to me, in recently taking inventory, that the needs are at least better known to me, if in fact not greater than they were a chapter or so ago. There are people facing unemployment. I suppose that to be a reflection of what's happening in the economy. There are those with sickness, and there are those with marriage fractures and family divisions, some with chronic, some with terminal illness. There are the ongoing spiritual battles, there are addictions, and there is more. And at least in part, we have begun to meet our needs, the needs of our people and of others. And so there's a myriad of ministries, some support groups, some specialized ministries, some for those who are going through or recovering from divorce or broken relationship, others who are the adult children of alcoholics, some who are struggling with unemployment or unemployment, people who are dealing with matters of marriage and of singleness. The list goes on and on. Some who simply seek friends and fellowship or want to have a Christian context for athletics. Some are just very, very practical needs. And some I suppose we would categorize as exclusively spiritual needs. And I think we've begun. We've begun to touch people's lives and to meet those needs. But as soon as that is said, it is recognized that there is so much more to do. And so my vision for the future looks for much more. More ministries and more support groups ministering to more people. Count on that list whatever you may, counseling or marriage enrichment or tutoring or healing or equipping for parenthood or perhaps some type of a spiritual hospice ministry or building houses with Habitat for Humanity. But no matter which ones we talk about, and no matter how many we undertake, experience tells us that the more needs we meet, the more people with needs we attract. And so that brings up yet another need. The need for Wooddale Church, in order to meet the needs of other people, to itself be a healthy family, a healthy church that is strong in relationships, especially in relationship to God, but in relationship to one another. That we be strong and that we be wise in the way we live and the health of our lives, in order that we may be able to meet the needs of other people whom God sends our way. But there's a grave danger that comes with a tactic of meeting needs. The danger is such a great one that I would count it has dragged down and perhaps defeated thousands of churches in this country. The danger is getting so caught up in meeting the long list of needs that we have within our own fellowship that we no longer reach out to other people. Frankly, every church that I have ever known of has more needs than can ever be met. And so there is something of a natural tendency to love ourselves and to care for ourselves and to feed ourselves until, strangely enough, we become so entangled with the meeting of our own needs that we become unable or perhaps unwilling to reach out to others. And we know that as Christians, reaching out is not something of a choice, but something of a mandate that comes from Jesus Christ. And ironically, I can't explain it other than it be a spiritual phenomenon. Ironically, the churches which do reach out are often the most effective in terms of having their own internal needs met. And those churches which seem to devote themselves exclusively to meeting their own needs without outreach are the ones, it seems, that over time are prone to shrivel up and to cave in upon themselves. What does that reaching out mean? Oh, well, the list, as you know, could be long. It includes for us starting new churches. Woodridge Church in Plymouth is off to a great start. Just a little over 2 months old, a steady flow of visitors, people being reached for Jesus Christ, lives being changed. It is a already strong, healthy, and growing young congregation. But for us, that's just a beginning. For we are already on track talking about the starting of a new church in 1991, and we anticipate that there'll be another in 1992 and 1993, because we are convinced that starting new churches is the most effective means of evangelism in America today. We believe that God blesses those who give rather than keep, and we intend to keep on starting new churches. But it's more than that. It's not just what we do in mothering churches elsewhere, but it is also an evangelistic lifestyle for Wooddale Church in everything that we are about. The last survey that we took, and we have taken a number of these surveys over the years to find out who we are and what the attitudes of our people are, the last major survey showed that 76% of Wooddalers regularly share their faith and or invite others outside of the church family to Wooddale Church. Now, you can guess that that is a very high number, a high percentage to maintain and a difficult percentage to increase, especially when you realize that we are not particularly committed to any named evangelistic program, but rather we are committed to regularly evaluating everything that we are doing in terms of evangelistic effectiveness, so that we want our Sunday school and our nursery school and our choir and our worship services and our retreats and our small groups and our athletic activities and everything else that we do to continually spread the gospel and make new Christians. It was my delight to sit just a week or so ago in one of our Monday morning staff meetings when things always seem to happen that aren't on the agenda. And the conversation that morning took an interesting direction. First, it was one person telling about leading another individual to Jesus Christ as Savior. And I don't know if everyone was simply ready to talk about it or that gave permission to digress from the agenda and tell the story some more. But it seemed that I think just about everyone there told a story how in the previous week or so, individuals, in some cases multiple persons, had come to know Jesus Christ as Savior through the ministries of Wooddale Church. One was a case of personal evangelism, or it was through the discovery class, or through a youth event. The stories just went on and on and on. Certainly no program, no one person, no one who claims, I hope no one that wants the credit, but rather the body, together, reaching out to other people in the name of Jesus Christ. The tendency is, or so we are told by those who study such things, for churches as they grow older to reach out less. In fact, there is a statistic often thrown about that churches can be outreaching for about 14 years, and after that, their own needs are so many that most churches no longer reach out. Well, Wooddale Church is far, far past its church adolescence and teenage years, far older than that, although I think that in some ways we could count something of a rebirth of the church starting in 1984 and the relocation to this site. But in any case, I dread the thought that ever this church would begin to cave in on itself. And I pray and dream and hope that the vision for now and the vision for the future will always be one of continued reaching out to bring other people to Jesus Christ. Glorifying God, meeting needs, reaching out, and teaching others. God has a rule. I think you could even go so far as to call it a formula. A rule that he expects much of those to whom he has given much. And God has given to Wooddale Church very much. Therefore, God expects us to give to others. One of the ways that we are starting to do this is through our role as a teaching church. Let me share with you both an analogy and some specifics. There are around this country a number of what may be called teaching laboratory hospitals, two that are very well known from our own state of Minnesota are the hospitals that are associated with the University of Minnesota and those that are associated with the Mayo Clinic in Rochester. It is at these and other teaching/laboratory hospitals that research is done. It is there that new procedures are tried out. It's there that new drugs are first offered and tested. It is there that concepts that in other places simply could not be considered, are attempted. And it is when those concepts and drugs and procedures have been tested and proved to be adequate that they are then disseminated to the multiple medical practices around the country until they reach virtually every community hospital in this great land. Just as we have laboratory teaching hospitals, so we need laboratory teaching churches, places where new ideas and programs and approaches can be introduced, can be tested, can be tried, places where risks can be taken and where resources are available that might not otherwise be available and where failure can be tolerated, whereas elsewhere that failure might be disastrous. And then from there, that those ideas, that those programs, that those challenges, those concepts can be spread across the land and around the world to renew and to increase the effectiveness of hundreds of thousands of other churches. Wooddale Church, now early on, and in the vision for the future, fills that role, at least in a small part, of being a teaching laboratory church. Again, I give you just a few specifics. Church Grow is perhaps a little-known ministry of Wooddale Church. It is our mentoring program done twice a year with churches actually from around the country, although our primary focus is on churches in the north central United States. Churches that average 400 to 1,000 in Sunday morning worship attendance. Churches that by many measures are already the largest in their community or in their denomination. Churches to which other churches look as examples, but churches which have little place themselves to look for mentors. We invite these churches, it is by invitation only, to come and to participate with us in an opportunity to help them grow. Growth does not mean just numbers, although clearly that is a part of what we are about. Typically, we invite 6 churches at a time, one set in the spring and the other set in the fall, with a limit of 6 individuals from each of those churches, 2 that are on their pastoral staff and 4 that are lay leaders. Wooddalers go and visit those churches. They undertake extensive self-study, producing documents that are long and thick. They come and they stay in the homes of Wooddalers. In fact, many have stayed in your homes. They participate in classes and see demonstrations, and they learn some of the things that God has taught us as a teaching church. Another aspect of being a teaching church is our undertaking the starting of new churches. For what we are about is not just the beginning of Woodridge or other like churches. Woodridge itself being a model for starting a new church, unlike any of which I am aware anywhere else. But beyond that, the setting of examples for others. Paul Johnson, our new church's pastor, is frequently teaching others. We have slated for 1991 several national, denominational, and church planting conferences online to teach others. And the list can go on, for the vision is far greater even than those 2 specifics. Of ministering to interns, of helping hurting pastors and churches, of printing sermons, and more. In April of next year, with sponsorship from a Texas-based foundation, there will be a national teaching church forum to be held in Colorado Springs, which I will moderate. It seeks to bring together some of America's great teaching churches as well as seminary presidents to see what we can do to help other churches, and to spread the good that God has given to us with others around the country. All of which is to say that our vision is something far more than that which is contained, either in this building or on this campus. It is a vision to be a catalyst from God in the renewing of some of the 375,000 churches in the United States, as well as the starting of new churches. And perhaps not just in America, but far beyond as well. May we be to the Christian faith what the Mayo Clinic and the University of Minnesota hospitals are to medicine. Glorifying God, meeting needs, reaching out, teaching others. 5th and finally in the vision is staying faithful and flexible. John Stott, the Anglican pastor and now renowned world Christian statesman, says that conservative churches have a tendency to be strong on revelation, that's the Bible, and liberal churches have a tendency to be strong on relevance, that's related to what's going on in the world. However, biblical churches are strong on both revelation and relevance. The future for Wooddale Church must include faithfulness to God, to Jesus Christ, to the Bible, to the historic Christian faith. In my opinion, that kind of faithfulness is not guaranteed by any piece of paper, whether it be a creed or a doctrinal statement or a church constitution or anything of the like. But rather, it is a dynamic thing. That faithfulness is determined through the teaching of the Word of God and through the commitment of a body of Christians who want to be faithful. I genuinely believe that that is the case at Wooddale Church, that the Bible here is taught and that the people of this church want to be faithful. And so it is up to us to keep it that way, to never waver in our loyalty to God, our allegiance to Jesus Christ, our belief in Scripture, our following of the historic Christian faith and church. We must be faithful, but we must also be relevant. We must understand our culture, what is happening in society and the world around us. For we are at a time in history, I think almost everyone agrees, when the change is taking place at an exasperating pace, our culture is changing faster than ever before in history. And it's frightening us. The management experts are saying that those businesses which will survive and thrive in the 1990s are those that can be flexible, that it cannot be business as usual, that there must be constant change in response to change. During my early years at Wooddale Church, an old-timer told me that flexibility and willingness to change has been a mark of this church since its very beginning, long before I had ever heard of it in the 1940s. I think that is quite an extraordinary thing, quite uncharacteristic of many churches. It is an attribute to be kept, flexibility, and openness to change. For we must keep changing. We must keep our muscles limber. Honestly, I don't know what that's going to include. There's no possible way. It would be a silly thing to say that we could anticipate how we must be flexible, because then we would become rigid in our anticipation of it, and that would be all by itself a contradiction. Perhaps it means alternate styles of services that are held at different times, maybe even different places. Perhaps it shall include a review of our baptismal requirement for membership, or a reconsideration of how we fund missions through faith promises. Or it may be some type of different creativity in terms of our Sunday evening programming, or perhaps sponsoring of outreach around the world or nearby, unlike anything that we have ever attempted or even thought of before. Who knows what it will be? But the vision of the future is one where Wooddale Church remains unswervingly faithful and continually flexible. It's a challenging combination, but it's also a dynamic duo which has extraordinary potential. Now I give just one final word. I talk to a lot of people every year from many, many churches around the country. And as I do, I am repeatedly impressed, greatly impressed, with God's goodness to Wooddale Church. You are an extraordinary people. I've said that before, and I've said it to others, and I say it again. Absolutely amazing. Sometimes I wonder if I fully appreciate how good God has been, how many blessings He has given to us, what a good thing we have. By God's grace, may this be just the beginning. And by God's grace, may the very best be yet to come. Let's stand and pray together. God of heaven and God of earth, God of all humankind, God of the Church of Jesus Christ, you are the one who is able to see the end from the beginning. You do not have to have vision as we have it, wondering or anticipating or dreaming as we dream. For you can see what the future holds. And so, God, that is precisely why we turn to you, praying that throughout all that we do, into that future already known to you but unknown to us, that we may glorify you in all that we do, whether they be terrific times or tough times, that we may meet the needs of people in the name of Jesus Christ with hearts and love and compassion, that we may reach out to others who do not know Jesus Christ as Savior, that we may be a teaching church, enabling other churches to do what you call them to do, and that we may remain through whatever the future holds, both faithful and flexible. God, you have blessed us richly. We seek to be faithful to you. As you have been faithful to us in the past, and as you will be faithful to us in the future, so now we commit to be faithful to you as well. In Jesus' name, amen. Good night. God bless you.